Chapter 14. I am positively dead during Mademoiselle Lafarge's French class the next morning. The after-effects of whiskey are the devil himself. There isn't a moment that my head doesn't pound, and breakfast, dry toast with marmalade, sits precariously on the sea of my stomach. I will never, ever drink whiskey again. From now on, it's strictly sherry. Pippa looks as washed out as I do. Anne seems fine, though I suspect she pretended to drink more than she did, a lesson I might heed next time. Except for the half-moon shadows under her eyes, Felicity doesn't seem any worse for the long evening. Elizabeth takes in the rumpled sight of me and scowls. "Whatever is the matter with her?" she says, trying to cozy up to Felicity and Pippa again. I wonder if they'll take the bait, if last night's friendship will be forgotten, and Anne and I will find ourselves on the outside looking in once more. "I'm afraid we cannot divulge any of the secrets of our order," Felicity says, giving me a furtive glance. Elizabeth sulks and whispers to Martha, who nods. Cecily's not giving up easily, though.
"Fee, don't be cross," she says, oozing sweetness. "I've gotten new writing papers from the stationers. Shall we write letters home tonight in your sitting area?"
"I'm afraid I'm otherwise engaged," Felicity answers, crisp as can be.
"So that's how it is then."
Cecily purses her thin lips. She would make the perfect vicar's wife with that deadly combination of self-righteousness mixed with an unforgiving streak. I'd enjoy her comeuppance a bit more if I weren't feeling so completely wretched. A belch escapes me, much to everyone's horror, but I feel much better. Martha waves a hand in front of her nose.
"You smell like a distillery."
Cecily's head is up at this. She and Felicity lock eyes, Felicity looking grim as a small, unfriendly smile pulls at the corners of Cecily's lips. Mademoiselle Lafarge barges into the room, spouting French phrases that make my poor head spin. She assigns us 15 sentences to translate into our books. Cecily folds her hands on her desk.
"Mademoiselle Lafarge?
En français!"
"Forgive me, mademoiselle, but I believe Miss Doyle isn't feeling well."
She gives Felicity a victorious look as mademoiselle calls me to her desk for closer scrutiny.
"You do seem a bit piqued, Miss Doyle."
She sniffs the air and speaks to me in a low, stern voice.
"Miss Doyle, have you been drinking spirits?"
Behind me, the scratch of pen on paper slows to a crawl. I don't know what's more palpable, the whiskey leaking from my pores or the smell of panic in the room.
"No, mademoiselle. Too much marmalade at breakfast," I say with a half smile. "It's my weakness."
She sniffs again, as if trying to convince herself that her nose has failed her.
"Well, you may be seated."
Shakily, I take my chair, looking up only briefly to see Felicity grinning from ear to ear. Cecily looks like she could happily choke me in my sleep. Discreetly, Felicity passes me a note.
"I thought you were done for."
I scribble back. "I did too. I feel like the devil himself. How is your head?" Pippa sees the surreptitious handing off of folded paper. She cranes her neck to see what's being written and if it could possibly be about her. Felicity shields the content of the note with the wall of her hand. Reluctantly, Pippa goes back to her lessons, but not without first glaring at me with those violet eyes. Swiftly, Felicity passes the note again just before Mademoiselle Lafarge looks up.
"What's going on back there?"
"Nothing," Felicity and I say together, proving beyond a doubt that something is indeed going on.
"I shall not be repeating today's lesson, so I sincerely hope that you are not taking the matter of writing it all down frivolously."
"Oui, mademoiselle," Felicity says, all French charm and smiles. When mademoiselle's head goes down again, I open the note Felicity has passed me.
"We'll meet again tonight after midnight. Loyalty to the order."
Inwardly, I groan at the thought of another sleepless night. My bed, with its warm woolen blanket is more inviting than having tea with a duke. But I already know I'll be weaving my way through the woods tonight, eager to hear more of the diary's secrets. Pippa's passing her own note to Felicity when I glance over. It's hard to admit it to myself, but I desperately want to know what's in that note. Something hard and mean flits across the surface of Felicity's face, but it's replaced just as quickly with a close-mouthed smile. Surprisingly, she doesn't respond to Pippa, but passes the note to me, much to Pippa's horror. This time, Mademoiselle Lafarge is up and moving down the aisle between our desks, so there's nothing to do but slip the note between the pages of my book and wait until later to read it. When the hour is over, Mademoiselle Lafarge calls me to her desk once again. Felicity gives me a warning look on the way out. I shoot her my own look, which says, "What do you expect me to do?" Knowing that I still have her note burning a hole in my French book, Pippa wears an expression somewhere between fear and nausea. She starts to say something to me, but Anne closes the door, leaving me alone with Mademoiselle Lafarge and my own fast-beating heart. "Miss Doyle," she says, peering up at me warily, "are you quite sure the odour on your breath is from marmalade and not from some other substance?" "Yes, mademoiselle," I say, trying to expel as little breath as possible. She suspects I'm lying, but she can't prove it. Disappointment weighs her down to a sigh. I seem to have that effect on people. "Too much marmalade is bad for the figure, you know." "Yes, mademoiselle. I'll remember that." That Mademoiselle Lafarge, she of the wide girth, is in any position to comment on figures is astounding, but I'm only hoping to escape with my head intact. "Yes, well, see that you do. Men don't care for plump women," she says. Her candor has us both looking away. "Well, some men don't." Instinctively, she brushes a finger across the tintype of the young man in uniform. "Is he a relation?" I ask, trying to be courteous. It's no longer the whiskey that's turning my stomach, but my own guilt. Honestly, I like Mademoiselle Lafarge, and I hate deceiving her. "My fiancé, Reginald." She says his name with great pride, but also a hint of longing that makes me blush. "He looks very..." I realize I have no idea what to say about this man. I've never met him. He's only a bad photograph. But I've already started. "Trustworthy," I pronounce with difficulty. This seems to please Mademoiselle Lafarge. "He does have a kind face, doesn't he?" "Most definitely," I say. "Best not hold you here. You don't want to be late for Master Grunwald. Remember, be sparing with the marmalade." "Yes, I'll do that, thank you," I say, and stumble out the door. I am lower than a crustacean. I don't even deserve to have a teacher like Mademoiselle Lafarge. And even so, I know I'm going to be out in the caves tonight, disappointing her in ways I hope she never discovers.